appreciate your presence this morning. We're thankful for this beautiful day that we have. We're thankful for the for all those who are back with us. We have many who have been traveling and back with us this time of year. We know that next week we have Mother's Day and still a lot of things going on this time of year that are called some of us to be away. And of course, we'll have a lot come to be with us. And we're thankful for your presence today and your willingness to worship God in this beautiful spring day. Let's pray together before we begin our lesson. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for abundant blessings. We know that you are the only true and living God. We know that you love us. We know that you sent your only begotten Son to this earth to die for us so that we would be saved. We know that if we were the only person on earth, if there was just one person here on earth, that your Son would still die for them. And that's how personal our salvation is and how much you know us and care about us and bless us each day. And we're thankful for all that you do. We pray that you bless this congregation here at Pleasant View as we strive to do your will. We know that many times we fail. We know that many times we are weak in our endeavors and we yield to the temptations of the devil. We pray that you forgive us of those things. We know we live in a dark world. And we pray that we can be that shining light of Jesus to all those that we meet. We pray that you will be pleased this morning with our worship. We pray that you will hold us in the palm of your hand to keep us safe and to give us the mercy and grace that we need. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I could be standing in front of any number of people today or any other time and I could categorize the group of people any number of ways. I could say, well, they're all a certain ethnicity or all they're certain ages and so on and so forth. But when we come together on the first day of the week to worship, when we assemble as Christians, I can not only describe you as Christians and the faithful and even using all the terms the Bible uses, even if I could use all of those, I could also look at this group and say I'm standing in front of a group of soldiers. The Bible describes Christians in that way, or at least Christians have those same characteristics as soldiers. We're called out to serve the captain of our salvation. We were acquainted with physical war in 9/11. Many of us have never known that type of situation in America. Even people from previous generations really didn't have that sort of situation on American soil, at least in the continuous 48 states. But here that happened, and you had a sense, at least I did, when those planes hit those towers. All of a sudden, I felt this great sense that we were at war because we didn't know what else was coming. We didn't know who was doing it. And you think, we're at war. And that was just a sense of dread that I felt, and I'm sure you felt the same thing. We're going to have a war on American soil. And I also knew how different that feeling was than I had the day before. It was a new feeling. But we should feel a sense of war every day, and I should have felt a sense of being at war on September 10th of 2001. Not a war against another country, not a war against the next door neighbor, not a war against anybody else, but simply a spiritual war. Because that's what the Bible talks about. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said, we're not at war against man. He said we shouldn't go to war against one another and be in strife and conflict, even though we know those things happen. He said our battle, our struggle is against the evil forces of this darkness. And he goes on to describe how the devil operates. He said that's where our war is. And then he said you put on the full armor of God and described all the things that we put on when we go to war. We should all feel that sense of battle every single day. I'm sure Satan would love for you not to feel that way. Satan would love for you to just sit back and think that he doesn't exist and think that he doesn't tempt you and you just go about your life doing whatever you want to do. Satan would love for you to think that. But the Bible says Satan doesn't sleep. Peter said he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's how he's operating. How do you operate against him, since that's the way he is operating? What is your defense? We're always at war. We're also at war against the things that Satan puts in front of us. We're at war against apathy. We're at war against atheism. We're at war against ourselves. Romans chapter 7, Paul talked about that. The great apostle, who many believe was single-handedly spread Christianity throughout the world and even to what it is today. In Romans 7, he said, I'm at war with myself. He said, because I know the good that I ought to do it, that I ought to do, but I don't always do it. He said, it's a war that's waging in myself every single day to do what's right. We're always at war. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul's writing to Timothy, somebody that he's training, somebody that he's a mentor over, his protege. He tells Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself with the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So Paul tells Timothy, look, you're going to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. You're going to go defend Jesus. And he said, all good soldiers stay committed to that cause. All good soldiers stay focused. He said they don't entangle themselves in something else, in the affairs of men. And all throughout Scripture we're told to do the same, not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Paul told Timothy the same. If I were to ask all of you this morning, what is the best characteristic of a soldier? I wonder how you would answer that question. Just thinking of soldiers, people that wear a uniform, any branch of service, what is their best characteristic? Probably the first thing you say is bravery, courage, something along those lines. And that would be true. There's no wrong answer to this. The dedication or the ability, just not bravery on the battlefield, but also bravery of being able to leave your family and be gone for an extended period of time and still being able to do your work. And we look at all the things that they go through, the training they go through, and admire them for that, what they're able to go through mentally and physically to be ready to be a soldier. For the purposes of our lesson this morning, I want us to focus in on one characteristic of soldiers and see that it's really the characteristic of Christian soldiers, the one we should have and never neglect, because I think it's a virtue or a characteristic that's in short supply today, and that's loyalty. I want us to focus in on loyalty as Christian soldiers, because we can look at somebody like Judas, who Jesus chose to be one of his apostles, somebody that should have been the most loyal to him, who turned out to be the most disloyal. And he was disloyal before he ever betrayed Jesus. We know that he was the treasurer of the apostles. He kept the money bag, as Scripture says, and he stole from it. He betrayed Jesus even before Jesus was ever arrested. He betrayed Jesus months and years, maybe even before Jesus ever went to the cross. And now we see Judas the way we see and know Judas, because of his disloyalty. I want us to think of three aspects of the loyalty for just a few minutes this morning. Our loyalty as soldiers of the cross. We have to be loyal, first of all, this morning. We have to be loyal to the commander. Loyal to the commander, that's what all good soldiers are, aren't they? They take orders. You take anyone in any branch of service, and you go up to them, they say, do you negotiate the orders that you receive? When you get an order from your superior, do you have a conversation about whether or not you want to do that? Whether or not you've got time to do that? Or you think, well, you know, sir, you want me to do this at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I'm still in bed at 5, and I just I get around to maybe about nine. Nobody that's served in the services can hear me this morning. You know that's not how it works. That all soldiers are loyal to the commander. They follow orders. They're obedient to those things. And the question then becomes, well, why be obedient? Why follow Jesus? Why trust him that way? You know, when you take a job somewhere, when you apply for a position, somebody comes in and says, I'm going to be your boss today. You're a little skeptical of that. And the reason is he hasn't proven himself to be a good boss because you don't know him or her. There's no track record that you're aware of. So you kind of ease into that and you start to get to know each other. You know, so you say, you know, why should I be loyal to you? Why should I be loyal to this company? Why should I follow what this person is telling me to do every day? The same is true with Jesus. Why should we be loyal to him? He is our master. He's the Lord, which means master. Why do we follow that master? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 5:3 that his commandments are not burdensome. And just a few weeks ago, we talked about that in a little more detail, and the fact that the Bible never tells you to do anything you can't do. God would be cruel if that was our command to do things that we couldn't do. But John says his commandments aren't burdensome. Anything God tells you to do, anything the Lord tells you to do, you can do it. I'm thankful for that. That way I can teach others to follow Jesus and know that whoever I'm talking to can be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. In any part of the world, any gender, any ethnicity, they can be faithful soldiers of Christ. I think we should also be loyal to Jesus because he chose us where we were. We didn't have to go to a certain place for Jesus to find us. Remember when he talked to the woman at the well and she was talking about the temple and that's where God was. That was the idea of Judaism. You go to the temple and you worship and you sacrifice and all the things the priest did in that place. And they go back in their history with the tabernacle and all the things they did. There was a place where you could go find God, where he was. And Jesus told her, no, it's not about a place anymore. You worship him anywhere. You can be faithful to him anywhere. And so Jesus finds people all over the world, of course, wherever they are, whatever condition they're in, whatever mountain of sins that they may have committed, Jesus can find that person. The gospel can reach that person, and that person can be saved. So I can be loyal to Jesus because his commandments are not burdensome, because he found me right where I am, and he says, whosoever will, let him come. And he said, preach to all the nations. The Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. We know that every creature can be saved. The third reason I can be loyal to Jesus is because of the rewards that he offers. The great rewards that he offers. You know, veterans have benefits. Veterans have rewards they receive for their service. Back shortly after the Civil War, the veterans were interested in their benefits, and all that was happening in the 1870s and 1880s. So back then, to receive a benefit, you had to go to Washington, D.C. to get it. So you had all that travel. Wherever you lived, you traveled to Washington, and you had to go to a certain office. And of course, all the men that had served, all their papers were stacked up, and they were tied up in this huge red tape. And they would cut the tape, they'd find your service record, and they would decide this. It was just this huge, long, elaborate process, and nobody wanted to deal with it. So today, of course, when you have to deal with any long, drawn-out bureaucracy and so forth, you have to go through a lot of red tape. That's where that comes from. I'm thankful that we don't have to go through a lot of red tape when it comes to the rewards we receive as Christians. That we don't have to do anything extra. We don't have to jump through a lot of hoops and be privileged in any kind of way. Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. That doesn't take special talent for God to bless us in that way. In Proverbs chapter 8, we see some more blessings of being a faithful follower of the Lord. Proverbs 8, verse 32 says, "Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates," sounds like a soldier, "waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And of course, James 1:17, "For every good and perfect gift is from above." We have to be loyal to the commander. His commandments are not burdensome. He chose us where we were, and he gives us great rewards. It's easy to be loyal to the Lord because of those things. But we also have to be loyal to our fellow soldiers, don't we? Not just to the commander, but also to the fellow soldiers. 1865, Sherman wrote to Grant, the two Union commanders. He said, "I knew wherever I was that you thought of me. And if I got in a tight place, you'd come, if alive." Soldiers become very loyal to one another on the battlefield. Some of you may have heard an inspirational speaker named Cleve McClary. He was assistant football coach at the University of South Carolina in the late 60s. And there around the campus during the Vietnam War, he noticed that some students were burning an American flag. He was greatly offended by that. We know a lot of that was going on back then. And so he enlisted and became a Marine and went to Vietnam and became involved in a very heated shootout, hand-to-hand combat. A bomb went off. He lost an eye. He lost, I believe, a leg. Since Vietnam, he's had 34 surgeries and travels the country giving speeches and talking about his experiences and about overcoming things and so on and so forth. But part of what he talks about is the fact that he's very thankful for every one of his surgeries. And you say, "Well, I don't know why somebody would be thankful for having to go on through that much rehabilitation and that much surgery and recovery and so on and so forth." And he said, "Well, I'm very thankful for all of the surgeries because the guy that was directly behind me in the foxhole jumped on the grenade. And he didn't have any surgeries for what he went through. But because he jumped on that grenade, I got to have surgery. I got to be alive." The loyalty we have to give fellow soldiers is like that. 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul talked about late in his life, the last recorded book we have from him. He said, "Only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me." Luke was a loyal fellow soldier. The Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens in Galatians chapter 6. We carry that with us, that we share our experiences to one another. We show and demonstrate that loyalty every day, that we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. We offer whatever assistance we can, and many times we know it's maybe not enough, but we try. We're good soldiers when we're loyal to the commander. We're good soldiers when we're loyal to fellow soldiers. Finally, this morning, we're good soldiers of Christ when we're loyal to ourselves. We're loyal to ourselves. How is it that we become disloyal to ourselves? Well, as with anything, when it comes to our faith, the things that give us the most trouble all involve sin. When we sin, we're disloyal to ourselves. We're disloyal to what we've been taught. We're disloyal to all of our fellow soldiers that taught us to do what's right. We're disloyal in every possible direction when we sin. It's been said and asked many times, why do bad things happen to good people? And you almost don't even want to get into that and try to answer that question, because sometimes it's so much bigger really than our minds can handle. But if you go back to the beginning of the Bible, you see how death entered the world. Death entered the world through sin. And we have disease, and we have accidents, we have all sorts of things because sin entered the world. Not so much that somebody committed a sin and then they got a problem. Remember, Jesus corrected that. They asked Jesus that once. They said, why is this person blind? Who sinned? Did he sin or his parents? And he said, you have totally missed it. They didn't commit a sin and get a disease. Sins enter the world. Sin and death. It rains on the just and the unjust. It wasn't a matter of that type of thing. It's just sin enters the world. Romans 5:12, for by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. We become very disloyal to ourselves when we sin. We betray all types of people and ourselves, and so we have to remember that we are always at war. Remember what David said in Psalm 119, verse 11. I hold your word close to my heart so that I may not sin against you. The more I know about God's word, the more prepared I am to fight against sin and not betray what I've known. My name is C.R. Nichols said this, Christians are referred to as soldiers, men and women who stand for the highest ideals, cleanest life, and purest motives. They are opposed to all that is sinful. They seek to overcome evil with good, that is, overcome evil by doing good. It is theirs to take the initiative in every righteous course. Theirs is a life of work in which they must stand foursquare for the right in every phase of life. Could that be said of you? Could that be characteristics that someone would want to write on your tombstone? How you would like to be remembered? How would you like to be talked about? Do you make excuse for sin? You find reasons to sin. Are you loyal to the commander? Are you loyal to your fellow soldiers? Are you loyal to yourself? Loyalty is in short supply, as you know, in the culture that we live in today. The Lord wants loyalty, and you can be loyal to the Lord. You can begin that by simply giving your life to Him. You can demonstrate your loyalty by saying, I know the gospel, I've heard it, I believe it, and I want to obey it. And by repenting of my sins, confessing Jesus as Son of God, and being baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. That's loyalty. Taking a step in the direction of Christ. That's saying, I'm ready to put my foot where I see Jesus' footprint. Where He took a step is where I want to take a step. The first step is becoming a Christian. And you can do that this morning. Or you can just simply come forward and ask for prayers and we'll pray with you. If you're in either situation, we encourage you to come now while we stand and sing.